Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today's gospel is all about blindness and seeing. It starts out with a man who is born blind, but it ends up with the same man who sees now more than what the human eye is able to see. Along the way, we will meet people who have 20/20 vision and yet who are really blind. There's a familiar proverb which says, seeing is believing. But this morning, the proverb is going to be proved false. For as we will see, there are many who see and yet do not believe. Seeing, they do not see. They have eyes to see and yet they are blind. The account opens, and it is only one man who sees, and that man is Jesus. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. One of the symbols of the church for God is a big eye. He is the all-seeing God. I think that it's pretty significant that the Genesis account of creation, Genesis 1, tells us that every step along the way of God's creation, God saw what he made and pronounced his good upon it. And then when it is finished, God saw all that he had made and pronounces his very good upon it all. God is the all-seeing God, which means that he sees all things. The man was born blind. For some reason, his eyes could never process the light that entered into them. John had opened his gospel with a grand announcement that the true light was coming into the world. It is the light that enlightens everyone, he says. This is the light that passed by and saw this man born blind. The disciples who are with Jesus would have walked right by this man and never saw him, just like we do every day. But now that Jesus has seen him, so do they. And yet they don't see him in the same way that Jesus saw him. What they see is a theological conundrum to be discussed and to be debated. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? I've never been all that sure, really, as to what it matters. Unless maybe they were wondering who to pity here. Should they pity this man because he got bad parents? Or should they withhold their pity from him because he's just getting what he deserved? Jesus responds saying, it was not this man's sin or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. What Jesus sees in this man is one in whom the works of God are about to be displayed. The reason that you put something on display is so that people may see it. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. I am the light of the world, he says. And he is displaying himself now in this man born blind. Jesus comes to this man in such a sacramental way that unless we're totally blind, it's hard to miss. He spat on the ground, made mud with saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." And we ask, how can mud do such great things? Answer, certainly not just mud, but the saliva of Jesus in the mud, along with the faith that trusts God's command to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, does these things. And then in characteristic understatement, John simply says, so he went and washed and came back seeing. Can we even begin to imagine what this must have been like for this man? It had to be the most incredible thing. He was blind all his life, and now he sees just like that. To have never seen anything, and now suddenly to see everything. I think that if I were John, who was one of Jesus' disciples, who had witnessed this whole thing, and who now records it in such great detail, I think that I would have spilled a little more ink on what this man said and what this man did after he received his sight in such a miraculous way. But John seems only to want to focus our attention on what everyone else thinks about this and how they react to it all. He wants us to see how everyone responds to the work of God that has just been displayed in this man. The neighbors of those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but it's like him." And all the while he kept saying, "I'm the man." They demand to see more evidence before they will believe what they see. The evidence is never enough. There always needs to be more. How did it happen? Where is he? And all that this poor man can tell them is about the mud and the saliva, and that it was this man called Jesus, and he doesn't know where he is. But as soon as he mentions the name Jesus, the neighbors all snap to attention. And immediately they take this poor man to the Pharisees, because the Pharisees had thoroughly threatened that anyone who should confess Jesus to be the Christ was to be put out of the synagogue. This poor man, he was just minding his own business, blind from birth, doing his begging, when Jesus came into his life. And now, since Jesus has come into his life, he has experienced more rejection and more trouble than he has ever known before. These Pharisees now, each of which have two 20/20 eyes, are actually the blind ones here. They are the ones who cannot see the work of God displayed before their very eyes in this man. And the reason that they are blind and the reason that they cannot see is not because their eyes do not work, it's because their mind does not work. They have made up their minds to not believe what they see. For them, seeing is not believing. Their blindness is not a matter of a faulty cornea or retina, but a hardness of heart. This is the blindness that this account is really all about. It's the blindness that John wants us all to be aware of. It's the kind of blindness that refuses to believe that Jesus is who he says he is, despite the evidence. Despite all of the evidence, no matter how much you might give, they refuse to see the work of God on display in Jesus Christ. This is the blindness that we are all born with. In the beginning, the serpent promised Eve that if she would only disbelieve God's word and eat the fruit that he said you shall not eat of, then her eyes would be opened. And as Eve studied the tree, she saw that the fruit was good and that it was a delight to the eyes. And she took of the fruit and ate. And she gave to some to her husband Adam, who was right there with her, and he ate too. And the serpent's promise turned out to be a flat-out lie. Big surprise. The work of the devil is on display in the serpent. They both went blind. Their eyes still worked, but they could no longer recognize God as the loving, providing, caring Father that they had previously known. Now they only were able to see an angry judge who was out to get them and punish them and ultimately kill them. And this is the blindness towards God that men and women have been born with ever since, you and I included. So when John tells us that Jesus restored the sight of this man born blind, he's really giving us another one of the signs that if you had eyes to see, you'd see the curse of the serpent and the sin of Adam and Eve being undone right before your very eyes. This account begins with a man whom Jesus saw, and it ends with the same man now seeing Jesus. "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Jesus asks him. "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" And suddenly it dawns on us that this man has never actually, with his two eyes, seen Jesus. Jesus says to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Behold the works of God displayed in this man. This is the work of God that the same Lord Jesus has done in you when he saw you in your blindness and told you to go wash in the pool of holy baptism. He opens our eyes so that we may see the works of God displayed in him. As we make our way to the cross through this Lenten season, John is preparing us so that we are ready to see the greatest work of God on display in Jesus Christ and him crucified, even through the utter blindness of sinful man who puts him there. Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Display your Son so that your Son may display you." There in the suffering and death of his beloved Son on the cross, we see the greatest work of God, as only eyes that have been opened can see it. What others see is a sinful man getting the divine punishment that sinners deserve. We see God's victory over the devil and the justification of all mankind and the reconciliation of God with man and the love of God for all mankind who takes the punishment that we deserve onto himself. In Jesus Christ and him crucified, we see him whom the prophets foretold would lead the blind in a way that they do not know, who turns the darkness before them into light. We hear the Father declare his very good as the Son pronounces his "it is finished." We see the light of the world in the darkness that fell on the earth when he breathed his last. With eyes that have been opened, we see the work of God on display in a simple piece of bread and a tiny sip of wine. Jesus is passing by you. He sees you, is opening your eyes as you take and eat and take and drink. Like the man born blind, who once Jesus saw him, experienced trouble and even persecution like never before. We also need to be prepared for the same. We are to heed Paul's admonition to all the seeing saints who were at one time darkness, but who are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Take no part in unfruitful darkness. Because the sad truth of the matter is, some whom Jesus has seen and who have been washed in holy baptism and whose eyes have been opened so that they might see the work of God in Jesus Christ have returned to the darkness and have gone blind again. It is possible to lose your sight and go blind even after Jesus has opened your eyes and given you sight. But he is always merciful and abounding in steadfast love and is always passing by you with his word and spirit. And seeing you, he says, "Repent. I am the light of the world. I forgive you all of your sins Behold, the work of God is on display in you. For now, the seeing that our Lord has worked in us has more to do with the ears than it does with the eyes. For now, all seeing is done by hearing. As Paul reminds us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Jesus chides Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." We began by recalling the familiar proverb, "Seeing is believing." But now that we see, we no longer say that seeing is believing. Now we say, being seen is believing. The day will come when all blindness of man towards God will come to an end, and every eye shall see him. Some will be terrified at the sight of him, others overwhelmed with great joy. Let us walk as children of light, that like this man born blind, we too may one day open our eyes and see our Lord in all of his glory face to face, and seeing all of the works of God displayed in him all at once, fall down and worship him forever and ever. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.